we go? These knees can think my dog might know what ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Can't poke for, but the ride was long. Where do we go? These knees can think my dog might know what ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Can't poke for, but the ride was long.
So, welcome to the Hip Girls Podcast. This is Zoe. We are still on this Support Black Women wave. And I have a special guest here on the show virtually. Her name is Winnie. And Winnie is a mother, entrepreneur, a publicist. And she wears so many hats. And we talk about, you know, us women having so many things to do. So, Winnie, tell us about yourself, what you do, what you have going on. What's going on with you?
Hey, yes, thank you so much for the introduction and for having me. Yeah, it's funny. I can't even keep up with all the hats that I wear. I think it's one of those things where it's like, I always like alluded to the fact of being a mother and being a single mother for most of my child's life, where it's like, right, as moms and especially as single moms, like, you know, you just learn to figure it out. And right, that's really, I think, how I've approached life and how mm-hmm. I've approached business is mm-hmm. like, you know, if I don't have it, I'm gonna figure it out. And if I can't figure it out, I'm gonna pay somebody to do it.
Okay. So,
but yeah, I guess some of the things that I've been recognized as you mentioned, PR, that was kind of like given to me. I didn't go to school for PR. I have a natural knack for it. I was raised by a mother who worked in media since before I was born, so mm-hmm. it's like it's in my blood. My brother's a journalist, uncle's radio host, you know, like the media is just like all around my family, so it just felt natural,
right?
Let's see, outside of that, I have blogging experience. I don't really blog as much as I used to, mm-hmm. but I definitely am considered a social media influencer. So hey, you know, basically, you know, whatever I touch, you know, turns up real quick. Yeah, that's me. I have a Booked Enterprise, which is like my umbrella for everything. Mm-hmm. And it's called Booked Enterprise because the motto is to live a productive lifestyle over being more than busy. So mm-hmm. I like to call myself a media powerhouse that offers a variety of communications that will take you to the next level.
Yeah. So the first time I saw you, I think it was, like you said, social media. And what stood out to me was your son. The Sydney, and he has this whole Books and Bros.
Yeah.
And see, me, I just really got into books maybe like a couple years ago. I would find a couple books that I liked. But as a kid, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a thing for me. So I thought that was interesting. Like, okay, he liked to read. And like, tell us about Books and Bros. It's so big right now. It's so major. Just the success you guys, you know, been having with it and the inspiration it has on the younger people, which is a big deal, like the literature part of it, which is dope to me. So tell us about that. What's going on with that?
Yes, thank you. That's one of my other hats. So yes, I'm a mom and a momager of my son Sydney, the founder and CEO of Books and Bros, which is a book club for boys, and we advocate for African-American literacy. He had the idea to start a book club specifically for boys who want to be empowered by African-American literacy after I took him on a surprise visit to ICME mm-hmm. in the summer of 2016. So it's the only African-American children's bookstore in St. Louis. It's in U City. Go support them, especially now during these times. I know that they're taking like curbside orders and of course online orders.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, going in their store definitely changed our lives. Mm-hmm. I literally, like, it was my first time ever recording a Facebook Live video. I did a Facebook Live video of him reading and me just like capturing the store, really tapping into the blogger side, social media right. side of mm-hmm. myself, just like supporting them. The video ended up going viral. It got over 65,000 views. since then, they've expanded. So the original store that we were in, they actually have a new store now that's like four times that size. So, it's been a blessing to like watch them grow. Just based off of like me being a mom, me recognizing his love of reading. Since then, we had our very first meetup there. You know, once we got everything on paper and just like figuring out this idea, the first meetup, we had seven boys to show up. Since then, we have served over 450 members internationally. And we've noticed the growth in their literacy skills. So they've improved in literacy. So we measure like where they are when they sign up, as opposed to like where they are when they opt out or when they, you know, grow out of the program. So yeah, it's been amazing. I miss them because we have monthly meetups every month, and we haven't been able to do that for 2 months now, because of COVID, but we have like pivoted virtually. Our most recent success is that Sydney was turned into an official Marvel hero because of his efforts. So you can actually see our episode and see how everything operates normally and even get a peek into the backside of things that's not as glamorous. We have an episode on Disney Plus called The Spectacular Sydney,
which is dope. I thought that was so dope. I'm like, dang, he basically have a documentary of himself as a Marvel cartoon person. And that was like you, a kid can inspire adults. And I was very inspired. So the whole time of me actually seeing you actually post him about books and, you know, seeing other people post about books, I began to read more. And it helped me so much. Like, the way that I think, the way that I feel and stuff like that, it just helped me. And I didn't even know that reading can help you so much like that. Yeah. And so, and that is a good path. I think he can, you know, impact so many people like that. And because I have a son, I want him to be like into stuff like that. You know, sports come, but I love the fact that reading and learning about the American literature, that's really dope. And I saw that Sydney was featured on the 12 Kids, the most
that was dope. In the Washington Post, and it was like 12 kids changing their communities. And just to like see my son, my black son, who's here in St. Louis, Missouri, being listed amongst children that are in places like Australia and Italy, you know, just all over the world. And it's, you know, it definitely, I had a moment. I had a moment.
As you should. As you should. And I thought, okay, so we have young kids that really can change the world, and he's on the right path. I remember you posted a story about going out and being an entrepreneur and just being and doing what you were supposed to do. And I remember that message, and I'm like, see, I like messages like this, and I like to see people step out of the comfort zone and just be and do what they, you know, are here for. And ever since then, it's like, I always remember that, and I'm like, okay. And you just kept going. Like, I just see something new every time. Every time. I'm like, she doing it. Like, this is perfect. And my friends was like, who should we interview? And I'm like, I know the exact person who I should interview. Like,
I can't not
interview you, because you really inspire people, and you may not know it, but you do. And I like to acknowledge people like that. Like, that we need more people like that who can inspire people, push people, and just do what they are here to do. And as far as like becoming a publicist and things like that, your brand strategies and stuff like that is magnificent. Could you give the people certain tips on, you know, branding, marketing, as far as like newcomers, people that want to branch out and do their own thing? What type of tips can you give them to become like an influencer and brand their businesses?
Well, first thing, and I tell a lot of my friends this when they're doubting themselves. So, especially if you're somebody starting out or if you feel like you're starting out, stop looking at other people's stuff, because you know, my main motto is comparison is the thief of joy. And if you continue to look at other people's work, and you compare yourself to them, you don't know what they have going on the back end. You don't know how many people are helping them on the back. You don't know how much money that they've invested on the back end. You don't know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can't slight yourself because you're too busy looking at the next person. So I would say definitely that's the first thing. One of the things that I did, and it wasn't intentional for business, but it helped me. So actually, when I was blogging, I started blogging back in 2012, I want to say. And I didn't think that people were paying attention to my work. I was writing a blog on WordPress. And then one day something just told me to look at my numbers. I wasn't into that. I just was writing because I love to write. And I noticed that, like, within the first, I guess, probably like 6 months of me being a blogger on WordPress, I had 9,000 views on my website. And I was like, wait a minute. What is going on? And I realized that there were like people from out of the country that would like comment on some of my stuff, but I didn't really take it seriously because I'm like, you know, they just be on the internet. Like, you know, I wasn't thinking, especially like, I think one reason why I didn't take it serious is because I was getting that type of attention, but I wasn't getting that attention here. And it's not to knock St. Louis at all, but it's like, we still deal with that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that people deal with that no matter where they're from. It's like, you're most wanted outside of your city.
Yes.
I think you just have to be at peace with that. But I would definitely say what I did with my blog was, around that time, I was excited about all this attention that I was getting. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to relocate. And it wasn't anything against St. Louis. I want to make sure I really, you know, press that. but I was interested in moving out of the city just because I wanted more. And I actually went on Instagram and I said, I'm going to start following people specifically in this city for everything that I would need once I moved there. So I was following random places. I'm following grocery stores, laundry mats, car salesmen, like just the basic stuff. But they were all in this city that I wanted to go to. What I didn't realize what I was doing is I was opening up my network, because when I started following these people in these cities, the other people that followed them, you know, started recognizing them following me back and us having conversation. So then more people in those cities started following me. So it's like, now I'm building a footprint in these other cities. And I honestly think that's what helped to garner attention for Books and Bros, because I did that on my personal page. And then once we started having like our meetups and we only had those 7 to 8 boys showing up, even if I didn't have a huge following, there were people in DC and in New York and in Atlanta and in LA that I specifically, you know, follow for personal reasons, but now they're seeing what I'm doing here in St. Louis.
Right.
And those, you know, those major cities, those bigger cities, they have, you know, writers and media outlets that are paying more attention to what they're looking at than sometimes what a smaller cities are doing. And so I do think that that's definitely, like, Books and Bros has been a testament of just like the rounds that I've been making virtually. And it's just funny because I had my first national speaking engagement that same summer. I spoke in DC at an event. And then when I came back is when I did the very first Facebook Live video. And then it was like a little while later is when like our business went viral. And we've just been on this like amazing roller coaster. So it's been like, we'll have really high moments and then it'll slow down. We'll have another high moment and then it'll slow down. And that's another thing too. Like, I don't think people starting out in business realize it. I think they expect for you to start a business, for it to be quiet, for it to be slow, and then for you to take off and then for you to just stay there. And I don't think anybody in business just stays at the top. I think that we all
experience, you know, lows.
Yeah. Right. It's a lot of ebb and flows. And when I was actually, I don't think I've posted this, or if I have, it's been a long time, but when we got contacted by Marvel was actually at the worst place of where we were, business and personally. I was experiencing like hardship as a single mother. Business was hella slow. I don't know what the hell was going on, but wasn't nobody popping. Like, they weren't hitting us up.
It was just a drought.
Yeah, they weren't hitting us up. People weren't paying invoices. I don't know what was going on. And it stressed me out. I honestly was depressed. There were days that I could not get out of the bed. There were days I couldn't work. Like, I was over it. And I was a full-time entrepreneur at that time. So, I remember getting contacted. I got an email from some random person. They were like, hey, I saw your son, you know, you and your son doing amazing work. And I didn't know if we could set up a time to chat about a possible, like, docu-series opportunity. And I was like, who is this? You know, like, it just sounded weird. And I'm like, we could talk for 15 minutes. Like, I got 15 minutes. I'll talk to you. And they're like, okay. And then we got on the phone, and it was like, some random white guys, and I'm just like, huh? Like, what are you on? And then like, the more that they like started to, like, you know, they were like, you know, we're legit, you know, we just want to earn your trust. And then, you know, once those legal documents got signed in, they gave me the full tea. They didn't tell me Marvel, but they told me enough to where I knew that opportunity would change our lives. So like, what you see, I don't know. Have you seen the actual episode yet?
I looked at it. Yep. I watched that. Girl, I do my research.
No, I was going to say, because there's a part where I burst into tears, cause I'm like in shock. Like, I'm surprised. And that was like real. Like, I'm not an actress. Nothing was scripted. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, I remember, like, that clip.
Yeah. So that was real. Like, I didn't know that they were going to, like, you know, fly this person in town. I'm not going to spoil this for people listening, but they're going to fly this special person in town to announce Sydney as a hero. Like, we didn't know any of that. So that was amazing. And like, just going back to, I was at the worst place in my life, personally and business wise. What if I would have took that? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And if I would have been like, no, thank you. We're not interested. I would have blocked a huge
That's block. So funny that you said that. The story, it's because we were just talking about how we are so skeptical of so many things, and we think everything is like a scam, and like, we think everything is, you know, someone's trying to scam us or take, you know, our respect away or something like that. And it's just so good that you took a leap of faith, and how they built that trust, you know, with you before, you know, signing anything. They were just basically legit trying to build a trust, which is so healthy, so good. Because, you know, these days we're just so skeptical of so much.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I don't even know, like, what's going on. And it kind of hinders us a little bit for certain opportunities. So that's just so good that you said that, because it just brought up that whole talk about how the world is now. And that's just so good that you've done that and was like, let me take this leap of faith. And you just watch, and you feel it. I'm sure you felt the moment of, okay, yeah, I can trust them. This might be it.
Yeah, I think the thing that got me to welcome them in was actually one of the producers. His name is Rob. He's the main one that we worked with. He actually flew here from New York. He flew in from New York and did not film at all. Like, he legit flew here to earn our trust. Like, he was like, I just want to chill. Like, you know, if you working, if you okay with it, like, I'll just join you at the office. And, you know, we could just talk. I could just see what you're doing in the moment. Like, and that's what he did. Like, he came to the office and we just talked while we packed up boxes and books, and we went out to eat. We showed him around St. Louis a little bit. Like, he's legit a friend. You know what I'm saying? It's somebody that we grew to trust and to genuinely love and appreciate. He's been dope.
I like that. That's just a testimony of, you know, faith. It's like you said, we have so many highs and lows. And you know what? The best things do come when you're at your lowest. Like, the best opportunities and the best blessings do come when you're at your lows, because you can't go any lower.
Yep.
You know? So the only way, they say, the only way is up. So true. It's so true with that. And that's just something that I noticed, and I saw that doc, and I was like, you can tell this is, like, this is real. This is what they, this is who they are. And y'all are doing so good. Like, what else you guys have coming up, or you personally, what you have coming up? I didn't even know you moved out of St. Louis.
Oh, we're still here. But oh, okay. That was a plan, and then that plan went to a different route. So it's like, you know, I thought that I was building my network for us to move, mm-hmm. and then stuff started popping off here, and I'm just like, okay, you know, let me stay here. Yeah, so I definitely, I could see us definitely being, like, bi-coastal, though. I love St. Louis with all my heart, but I've been telling my mom since I was a kid that, you know, I would live to travel the world, the country, whatever. And I don't feel like I'm legit supposed to just sit in one state or one city for the rest of my life. So
right, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, but I definitely, St. Louis is always home. Books and Bros will always be, you know, headquartered here. So that'll be definitely our reason to come back, if nothing else. but no, what else I'm working on, I'm actually glad that you asked. So it's funny because this is, like, legit a secret. Like, you're getting exclusive. So with us being, you know, everybody's experiencing this pandemic, whether if you're cool with being stuck in the house or if you're, like, freaking out. And I've been on both ends in just a matter of weeks. Like, the first couple weeks, I was good. I'm like, oh, I got time to get my house together. I got time to get this stuff done and do this. And, like, I was going. Like you said, you've seen me post stuff just, like, daily. Like, I've been pushing. Mm-hmm. And then life happened. And so I don't really want to go into detail with some stuff that happened personally. But I will say that we legit experienced three traumatic incidents back to back to back within 48 hours. One of them, I don't mind mentioning because we're on the better end now, but one of the scares that we had was that we contracted coronavirus, so we thought that we had it. My boyfriend, one of his coworkers, tested positive, and it's somebody that he works closely with as an essential worker, and so, mm-hmm. of course, like, then that just, you know, scares you, like, feelings of rage and anger and fear and just questioning everything. I couldn't sleep. And then the testing, when we had to go get tested, that was awful. So, you know, we all had to go get tested, Sydney included. And I would never wish that process on anybody. They have to swab your nose and your throat. Yeah, so it was horrible. And I was just like, you know what? I ain't getting on nobody else's Zoom for the rest of the week.
You was, like, over it.
Yeah, I'm just like, this meeting's canceled. That's canceled.
Let me get back to my sanity. Let me get back to my calmness. Like,
this is stressful. And mind you, like, that happened, and then we still went days where we didn't find out the results. So then it's just like sitting with that. That anxiety. So I just was like, no, I'm gonna just binge watch stuff and try not to cuss nobody out for the next few days. So with that being said, like, I was on the high end, right? And then I was on the low end of just, like, emotions with coronavirus and with this pandemic, that I was actually inspired out of nowhere to create a book. And so it'll be in print form and then also an ebook form. So I've already submitted it to Amazon so it can be printed directly with them. So I'm excited to get those out. The book is called Mugs Could Never, 23 Affirmations to Combat Mental Burnout. So it's literally pages full of affirmations. So literally this will serve as, like, a coffee book. So, like, let's say if you wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. and you're not really feeling like yourself, like, you know, sometimes we just feel a little off. You could look over and see that book, you know what I'm saying, on your coffee table and grab it and say, you know what, like, let me flip through here for a quick pick-me-up, grab myself a cup of coffee. Like, that's what I really wanted to serve as. So, yeah, I'm super excited. It should be available by next week. So I would say definitely, like, no later than, I'll give myself a little time before I get too excited. I'm going to say May 29th. Because, like I said, this is all fresh. This is all new. But yeah, if you want to make sure that you're one of the first people to get a copy, I would definitely say go to bookedenterprise.com, and there's a button on the front page to get on the mailing list, so that way you can be one of the first to find out when it. But yeah, I'm super, super excited.
I love it. And did you ever think that you would like create your own book? Because I'm actually in the process of making me a book.
Yeah.
And so I never crossed my mind to, you know, become a writer, an author, none of that. But it's just so much that we have to say, and I'm like, it's best to do it in a book.
Yeah, and this way, actually, this book is pretty small. Like, it's literally less than 50 pages. Mm-hmm. But this serves as for two things. So, to answer your question, I actually have seen myself become an author. Like, I've always loved to write since I was a child. And I'm surprised I haven't gotten anything done before now. Mm-hmm. But right. I think the reason why is because it was just, like, the unknown. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom has always talked about publishing a book, but she hasn't actually published one. But, you know, she was like, you know, any type of crazy situation that'll happen, you know what, this is going to be added to my book. This is going to be in my book. And so I adapted, like, that same mantra unintentionally. Like, I was just like, yep, this is definitely going in my book. Like, what I just told you, those three traumatic things, that's going to be in my book. The pandemic going to be in my book.
So your mama holding all good information.
She is. So I will say, and she's probably going to listen to this, but I will be, I don't want to say airing out some of her information because that sounds bad, but basically this coffee book serves as like me getting my foot in the door as far as like being an author and learning that process. But I actually am also, I've been for a while working on an actual book based off of my life story. And it feels goofy saying that because it's like, most people do that when they're like 40 and 50 years old or even older than that. But I think a lot of us have like experienced a lot.
And a lot. Sure.
Especially being Black, especially dealing with what we've had to deal with in the Midwest as Black children and young women. And then also then me like pivoting into motherhood. So it's like, I've lived a lot of life. and there's even a story as to like an actual like public knowledge of me not even supposed to be here. Like, I know everybody got that. I wasn't supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead, but God, but like, no, that's for real. Like, I legit, you know, am a miracle baby. And so the fact that I've been able to accomplish what I have and only being 31 years old and my child accomplishing what he has, and he just turned 14, like, that's not normal. So I'm gonna put in the book. so that'll be my next. That'll actually be the big, you know, project.
That's a good investment on yourself. Yeah. Telling your story and keeping it. And you think about it, you can tell your story, and it's literally your story is on earth for a long time. And then that's dope. Like,
yeah, and it's something for Sydney to hold on to, and you know, just like basically, you know, like building a legacy for our kids. So the day that I'm not here, he can show it to his kids and they can get a piece of like who I was before they were even thought about.
Right. And that's what it's all about. I love it. And Aza had a question. She said she want to know, how did you get on Good Morning America and Oprah? I'm like, girl,
tell her, because I know people. That's funny. Okay, Oprah. Let me go back to Oprah. So I'll give the story on that. What I can say is, I don't know as far as how we got in Oprah's magazine. I was working at a job at the time. Thankfully, I had a lot of flexibility because Sydney and I, that was like our first viral moment, or it was like shortly after we went viral for Books and Bros. And I remember I was at a meeting for work, but I was like away at a coffee shop. And I just randomly, you know how you pick up your phone and you just randomly check texts or emails, whatever. And I checked my email and it said that it was a writer from O Magazine. And I'm like, huh? And I'm like blinking my eyes. I'm like, what? And then like I read the whole thing and I was stuck. Like I couldn't breathe. I was just like, and the person I was at the meeting with, they're like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. I can't. I'm hide here. And when I showed the email, we both literally got up and just started screaming and running around. So to this day, I don't know how they found out, but I know that we had literally a whole week of where Sydney was on Huffington Post, Ebony Magazine, CNN, like twice. It was a busy week. And we had got a great amount of attention. So I'm sure that's how Oprah's magazine found out about us. I will say I probably spoke it into existence because a week before they reached out to me, I actually made a post in a group that said the post was kind of to the fact of before you wish to be on Oprah, make sure that you're ready. And I swear to God, like I made a post saying that because I was just like, you know, you can want these platforms, but then what'll happen once you get it? Are you going to be ready? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Do you have enough books in place to ship out? Do you have enough clothes in place to ship out? Do you have enough mailers, boxes, envelopes, whatever? Like, are you ready? You know what I'm saying? For that level of attention. And then lo and behold, next week, I was like, Lord Jesus. So yeah, that's for Oprah as far as like being in her magazine. So then we also had a second opportunity, a second run in with Oprah when Sydney was on the Steve Harvey Show. Another time where I felt like I was at the lowest point in entrepreneurship. Not the lowest, but we were definitely... It was a slow season. Mm-hmm. And we were actually in Atlanta. I was visiting... we were visiting Atlanta because Sydney had a speaking engagement at Morehouse. Doesn't sound like a low period, right? But it was. It was like... It was a dope opportunity, but I was early in business and... How can I put this? I didn't know how to look out for us as far as like speaking fees and contracts. So with that, I covered a lot more than what I would now. I'll say that. So that's another piece of advice for anybody starting out as an entrepreneur, or even if you're starting out as a public speaker, they need to pay you something, sis. I don't care. And if they're not paying you, you need to get something out of it on the back end. So, like, let's say if this is your very first speaking engagement, ask them if you can have, you know, if once we can go outside again, ask them if you can bring a photographer or a videographer, somebody to capture that. So that way you can use that footage on your website to get paid gigs. You got to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to get something out of it. You can't just go in, give your all, and then get nothing. Or also, another thing that I've done for Sydney at the beginning is I wouldn't ask for necessarily a fee, but I would say we're open to receiving an honorarium. So that basically leaves the door open for them to decide how much they can budget for to pay you. So, you know, maybe it starts out at $200 or maybe it's $500, but then an honorarium is a good way to basically not block your blessing.
Okay.
Because you don't know how much money they're dealing with. So, okay, back to story. So
good tips.
Right. We were in Atlanta. We were staying with a friend. Sydney had just got done speaking in front of a group of youth for entrepreneurship at Morehouse University. And when we got back to my friend's house, I legit was on my laptop and I was looking up ways to raise money because I'm like, we need some money. So I was looking at like crowdfunding, stuff like that. And I got a text message and it was like, hey, this is so-and-so from the Steve Harvey Show. And we want to bring you out to LA in a couple weeks. And I'm like, huh? And I'm looking at my phone like, you're lying. Like, how you get my number? Who is this? And she said that someone, I think at a local paper here, who had recently interviewed us, ran into them and gave my contact information. It's like, I hope that's okay. Girl, that's fine. I don't care. Let's go. Okay. So, within a couple weeks, we flew out to LA to be on the Steve Harvey Show. Sydney was on the Steve Harvey Show when he was 11, and they surprised us with a video in of Oprah, and she literally, like, for people listening, if you haven't seen it, just look up Sydney Keys Oprah and it'll pop up first at the top. But it's a video of her literally starting out by saying Sydney Keys III, you know, in her Oprah voice. And, you know, she's just like, I'm so proud of you. And I'm just like, and I'm standing on the side, like with the cameraman, just like crying and jumping. I had on some fresh heels and I was jumping all the way to the sky. Like, I did not care. And that was like our second run in. And I later found out that I think she was taping for, what was that movie that she was like a fairy on? Wrinkle in Time.
Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah. She was taping for that, as well as like her Weight Watchers partnerships and stuff. So that's why she couldn't be there physically. But even on the video, she was like, I wish I could physically be there to hug you and just like, you know, encourage you. And it was amazing. It's still surreal to this day. I have moments where I'm just like, dang, Oprah straight know who my kid is. Like, that's wild. So I always say that our third encounter will definitely be in person. So, you know, once the world gets to its new normal, I would definitely love to meet Oprah. So Aza, that's how, you know, we got in Oprah. Okay. Now, Good Morning America was scheduled after Sydney's episode aired for the Marvel Hero Project, which is on Disney Plus. So all of the kids who have been identified as official Marvel heroes have had some sort of press. So some were on what's some of the other shows? I don't be watching TV. Kelly Clarkson show. Okay. Or somewhere
most of the daytime shows.
Yeah, they were on daytime shows. And long story short, you know, we got contacted to see if we would be interested in being on Good Morning America on Martin Luther King Day. And I was like, what? Like,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just like, this would be perfect. What do you mean? Like, what do you need? Take my information. So yeah, that's really how I got set up. So I would say, if you're looking to be on any type of like daytime TV, or just have like any TV placement, it definitely would help to have a PR person. I'm not even gonna plug myself, because to be honest, like I'm tired, I'm busy, I'm booked and busy. But so once I noticed that I couldn't handle sitting on my own anymore, I did invest in a PR person. So I work with Portia Outen, innovationsofexcellence.com. That's her website. She did not ask me to plug her, but that's who I
love a plug.
That's who I work with, because she takes a ton of the workload like off of me, and she's another Black woman, you know what I'm saying, that we can support and to uplift. And she's amazing at her work. She's extremely professional and she fights for her clients. So, you know, to be real, when you start stepping into segments like TV and daytime TV and national platforms, Black people are not always treated fairly or held at, you know, the same regard. We had an amazing experience with Good Morning America, so don't get that twisted. But it's nice to have somebody in your corner, and just in case, you know what I'm saying? Right. And especially at the time when we were on Good Morning America, I actually was working a job. I picked up a full-time job just for some extra money, because my kid is 14 and eats a lot. And so I was like, I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't manage communicating with Good Morning America and Marvel and do my job effectively and be a good mother. It was a lot and it was too much. So Portia is our PR person. She handles that stuff and she just tells me where to be, when to be there, and how to show up. So even with this interview today, she kind of fussed at me because I handled it on my own. Like, literally. If there was a delay in my messages, that was why. Because she was
that's fine.
She was like, no, you didn't. I'm like, I know. I was like, I'm trying to give you a break. She was like, girl, you know. And so, but yeah, a PR person would definitely help. Especially like if you got a book, man, stop playing.
Okay. Helping me out. For real. And, you know, hats off to you, because it does sound like a you know, weight lifted off your shoulders, you know, for hiring a PR person. Because, you know, just naturally as a woman and as a Black woman, you just want to do everything yourself. It's just something in us. And we just, because we want to prove ourselves to the world. And we know that we are so, like, we have so much integrity and so much determination. And so when someone tells us, you know, to want to help us out, we like, and I got this because I know I want it and stuff like that. So it does sound like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders, which is dope. And you seem more pleasant now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, no. And it's funny because when Portia and I first started working together, it wasn't for her to necessarily be PR. She also is an event planner. So she planned the very first gala that we had for Books and Bros. And then when I saw how effective she was with that, and I just, you know, we always watch how people move. And when I really just sat back and watched her, I'm like, she don't play. You know what I'm saying? Even just how she handled the media for the gala, she basically was wearing two hats at the same time. I gained another level of respect for her as a PR person. So that's why we continued that relationship. Yeah, it's weird, like, talking about it, because it's like, you know, when you hear people, especially, like, celebrities that you look up to, and they talk about, like, red carpets and stuff like that, you'd be like, it just sounds like a fantasy. So the fact that I'm, like, sitting here talking to you about my PR person is funny.
Hey, everyone needs a job, and she sounds like she's doing it effectively. And so that's dope. And what I want to say is I do appreciate, you know, you coming on our podcast and just sharing so much about yourself, your life, your son, and just your journey. We love to hear, you know, Black women talk about, you know, their journey and, you know, where they're going and, you know, where they've been. And we're on this way to support Black women because I think we just need it. And I love to connect, network, like you said, and just push people to become better. And I do appreciate you taking the time out to come on this podcast and just, you know, share your life experience. We're looking forward to your book. I'm looking forward to it. And just the things that you have, you know, coming in the future. And just tell the people where they can follow you, what platforms, websites, all the good stuff.
Yeah, so y'all can get all in my business on social media, Facebook. I'm Winnie Elizabeth. On Instagram, it's at I am Winnie Elizabeth. I'm bald head in all my pictures, so when you see bald head girl, that's real fine. That's me. I'm also on Twitter, not as active on Twitter, but Winnie Elizabeth on Twitter as well. And you can sign up to be on my newsletter list to get pre-sales for Mugs Could Never, the ebook, at bookedenterprise.com. I'm super excited. And also you can find out more about Books and Bros at booksandbros.com. We actually do have a special right now as sponsors for the MUA Alex. She's also from St. Louis. She's in Atlanta. She's a celebrity makeup artist teaching a business course for the next 5 weeks. But we're a sponsor for her. So basically, if you use code the MUA Alex on booksandbros.com, it gives you 50% off of your first Books and Bros box.
Okay. All right. That's dope.
Yeah. And check out her stuff. Her class is amazing. She's taking people to new heights. So I feel like I'm plugging everybody, but I can't help it. Like, that's what we need.
That's what we need. That's what a platform is for sure. Yeah. So I thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. I hope we inspire you guys to become, you know, entrepreneurs, or if you're in the corporate world, you know, get ready to climb up the ladder. Whatever path you're on and journey you're on, we just want to support you guys. And be safe out there. COVID is still out there. And, you know, we love you. You have a good night. Bye. Bye.
Brad was low, where do we go? Brad was low, hey popo, look at Brad was low, where do we go? Knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but Brad was low, where do we go? Brad was low, hey popo, look at Brad was low, where do we go? Knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but Brad was low, where do we go? Brad was low, hey popo, look at Brad.
ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak and my gun might blow. But ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, Popo, look at ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak and my knee gon' be out. My dude.